Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Schulter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning. And welcome to The Butterfly Moment. This is John Schulter. I'm going to be flying solo again. Carrie's on assignment through her photography work and won't be here, but my favorite person here, Dylan's going to be kind of sitting shotgun here and may have some comments. You there, Dylan?
I am here, John.
I am here.
Good, good. So we're going to have some fun during this show. As always, the butterfly moment is something near and dear to me. It's that quantum leap. It's that sudden growth of the caterpillar in realizing physically, mentally, and emotionally who he is, who she is, and that moment when breaking through from the cocoon, the caterpillar realizes that it's more than just this caterpillar, crawling caterpillar, that it's one of the most beautiful insects on earth, and best of all, it can fly. And so we like on our show to demonstrate this as being an example of what humans can do. What humans can do in their life when they make dramatic transformation, whether it's recovery from an illness, which we'll be talking about today, or some sort of addiction, or some realization that suddenly all this practice and all this dedication has turned into something wonderful. And so you got to check out our website, lifecoachone.com. And you'll see what we're all about this butterfly transformation. And we're big believers in miracles and a miracle mindset in what we call living the miraculous life. As I've said before, sometimes Carrie and I would try to call each other out and point to that parking space that suddenly appeared, not just being a parking space, but a miracle. Or that beautiful sunset that we're walking together is not just the sun coming up or the sun coming down, but it's a miracle. And once you start to put those lenses or glasses on, without any life coaching, without any type of inspiration, your life is going to change. Because I can tell you, you begin to see what you look for. And if you look for miracles in life, that's what you're going to find. And if you look for and get currency from bad things happening, sympathy, you know, attention, then that's what you're going to find. You know, it's so, so simple. It reminds me of sports. There's a basic nature to it, blocking, tackling for football, hitting, running, catching, throwing in baseball. And the simple way is the best way. And so in our life coaching practice, we would like you to test drive 55 minutes with me or with Carrie. And we'll look at your life and what your plans are and put together a vision of what could be within the next 30 days, within the next 60 days. Excuse me. Forgot to turn my cell phone off. By the way, I woke up this morning. Did you ever have a dream that you couldn't find your cell phone? I had this dream. I was traveling somewhere and I couldn't find my phone, and it was unbelievable. It was like so wonderful when I finally woke up and realized that, you know, because everybody's lost their phone, and it's such a task, because you got to somehow survive during the time that you're going to Verizon or whatever, and then you got to transfer data and all that kind of stuff. And every time when I wake up and leaving the house, there's three things, you know: do I have my wallet, do I have my keys, do I have my cell phone? Any comment on that, Dylan?
I don't know if I've ever had a dream about not having it or finding it, but I think it's even more concerning when you're on your cell phone talking to someone and you're like having a conversation. You're like, oh yeah, I'll have to put that in my phone. And then you start looking around, you're like, I can't find my phone. And you're like, oh yeah, because I'm on my phone.
Well, one of the things that I advise for my coaching clients is that I'm a big believer in ritual. And you know, when you get up, it's a very special moment. And I advise to have at least a half hour that is technology free.
Could not agree more with that.
Where you're not looking at emails and you're not looking at text messages and all that kind of stuff, and that you're just there with your pen or pencil, or and you're just, you know, there with your goals, or you're meditating and just getting quiet before you face the day. Do you meditate, Dylan?
You know, not in the traditional way, but you know, there are times where I like to just, sometimes while I'm driving, I like to just kind of turn everything off, not respond to any, you know, text message, obviously, while I'm driving, but or phone call, and just kind of be one with driving, kind of clear my thoughts, and kind of practice my breathing, you know, staying alert enough that I'm not crashing or harming anyone else around me, but just really taking that one-on-one alone time on the road and just really trying to recenter, refocus.
Well, you know, I think that what I do with my coaching practice is kind of encourage people to be accountable to those kind of habits, those kind of rituals that will get you started on a great day. And I saw a saying the other day that I really like, and it reminded me of coaching. Intelligence is when you learn from your mistakes, and wisdom is when you learn from other people's mistakes. And so when you have a life coach, you have a mentor. And a lot of what I do is not really give advice, but allow the tools that can bring you down the path of life so that you don't have to step in the same potholes that I have. And, you know, I've had a lot of different experiences with whether it's law or teaching or screenwriting or that type of thing. You know, where are the dangerous places that you don't want to go? Well, if you would like to try 55 minutes of coaching, just visit our website. Give me a call at 586-997-HELP, 586-997-HELP, and we can talk about it, and we can talk about what your goals are and what you need to change. Dylan, I saw a great movie last night. Did you see Loving?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's a wonderful story about Richard and Mildred Loving out of Virginia during the 50s. It was an interracial, it's a true story about an interracial marriage in which it was against the law at that time.
Okay. Did you see this in theater or on?
I saw it. It's out on DVD and you can catch it in the internet.
Okay.
But it was, I had not heard of it until Carrie got the DVD, but it was just unbelievable. there were moments there that were just, as a screenwriter, were so profound and yet so simple. And it really showed something that I talk about, that these were two people who were being the change, that they authentically were incredibly in love. And just by being themselves, their authentic selves, they changed the world. Because they had written some of the federal agencies and got free representations through the administrative agencies and attorneys. And it was just amazing. I thought I'd shut that off. It was just amazing, the power of that simplicity. And so if you get a chance, it's really, really well done. There is this one scene where her husband took her out into the country. And this was a place that within a mile where she had grown up. And she's African-American, and she had always dreamed of having her own farm. And he's standing there in front of this field, kind of teasing her in a way, but he's creating this picture of what it would be like for them to have a farm together, and he would build that house. And it was just incredible, incredible acting, where you could actually see her mind working, her imagination moving as he described this thing and the possibility of that. And so it was a great, great example of two people making a difference by being their authentic self. I don't think that her husband really could see. He was so in love with his wife, but I don't think he could really see a difference. I don't see that he could detect the difference of color. And it was just a wonderful example of, it kind of reminded me a way, Dylan, is Romeo and Juliet.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. It's like a modern day, not modern day, well, back then in the 50s, a modern day Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, and so their love just had these incredible, incredible obstacles. And just by being themselves and staying true to that, they won. And they took the case to the Supreme Court. And it was interesting. One of the attorneys was talking to her, and he was saying, well, when we get in front of the Supreme Court justices, what do you want me to say? And he said, I want you to tell them that I love my wife. It was so profound. It was amazing, because it was an example in screenwriting of less is more.
Mm.
That the drama was encapsulated, and the emotion was encapsulated in those that sentence. So I think you can understand that you don't need complications. There is a simple goodness that can be achieved and appreciated in life, that is an authentic relationship, an authentic relationship with yourself or somebody else, that, like Gandhi says, is going to change the world. Well, I think it's also an example of a friend of mine. His name is Gary Barnes, and he just is being moved today or yesterday from intensive care. He had a heart transplant, and it's been an unbelievable experience and growing experience for me, because the courage that he has shown, the courage that his family has shown, his wife, Kathy, Justin and Lisa. Justin's a yoga instructor, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful person that's a teacher in his own right. And his daughter Lisa is a mother, and she has just been great. Their whole family has been teachers for me the last, almost 6 weeks. And Gary had a heart transplant, which I was telling Dylan before we got on the radio, is just amazing, a miracle to me.
Huge miracle. Yeah. It's I mean, the technology today to put in brand new heart into someone and kind of turn the key to the lawnmower, almost like you were saying, that analogy where nothing changed. It's just you turn the key again and boom, lawnmower's on. So
yeah,
to put in a brand new heart into someone and have them accept it in to their internal organs and kind of be able to turn it back on and just keep going is crazy to me.
Well, he had some complications during the process of the surgery. He had a stroke, and that's kind of been a bump in the road. But it's really been a miracle. He had some loss of vision that is completely cleared up. He couldn't talk when he first got into intensive care. He's making phone calls. We're going to get him on the show, like I said. And he's developing movement in his left side, which has some paralysis to it. And the same thing with his left arm and shoulder. And so it's just been so amazing to me of what he's been through and the courage that he has shown in the process. I remember when he first was in intensive care and he really didn't have his ability to speak. It was, you know, in its initial stages and couldn't see very well. And I have this big thing that I always talk about. It doesn't matter what happens to you so much as what you do with what happens to you, because it all can be part of this Einstein miracle. It all can be part of your ability to change your life. And I try to keep pointing things like that out to Gary. We've got things we have on the wall, affirmations every day and every way we're getting better, better and better. The thing about the Navy SEALs with climbing the rock, climbing the wall and looking up, looking down. We've got that up there. And we've got all these affirmations, and we're putting together an image book. And Gary has responded magnificently to it. And I asked him, you know, when he was first able to talk, Gary, what is something good that's going to come of this? Because at that point it was, you know, possible that he wasn't going to be around. And he didn't hesitate. And he said, I think that my family's much closer. And I was in awe of the strength that someone in that situation who had all the reason in the world for a pity party had looked for the good and found the possibility, kind of proving what I just said. It doesn't matter what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens to you, because Gary in his own way is not just getting better on his own. He has a community of people that are supporting him, that are loving him. And that's his ministry. He is teaching the preciousness of life by his efforts in getting better. And what a way to live. What a way, you know, to get well and to really, you know, endure challenges. Because one thing you're going to find if you're out there long enough, that there's going to be challenges that are you're going to have to face, whether it's cancer, whether it's, you know, stroke like my father had and what Gary had, as part of the, you know, the exhilaration of finding a heart and getting a second chance, that you're going to have to frame it. You're going to have to frame it in a new way. You're going to have to put on those glasses of miraculous living. It's really funny because, and he'll tell you that he was a non-believer, agnostic, before this. And I asked him, what happens to you when you die? You know, this is like years ago. And he said, well, it's like a bug. You get smashed and that's it. So we've been having, you know, our men's group pray for him, and we've been having family and friends pray for him. And I asked him, I said, Gary, can I tell the men's group how you're reacting to this praying that you're doing? Can I tell them you're a believer? And he says, believer? I don't just believe in God, I believe in miracles. Now, it's not important like we're recruiting somebody, but Gary has opened him up and has opened himself up to the unlimited potential of the universe. It's a butterfly moment that Gary realizes that he can fly. He can fly with that new heart. And that's exactly what he's going to do. Anyway, that's what I've been doing lately. And like Wayne Dyer says, if you knew who walked with you on the paths when you thought that you were alone, you would have no reason to fear. And so I often think, you know, what if there are friends, relatives, saints, angels on the other side that are waiting to help you, waiting to be there when you need them? But you have to ask. You have to ask. You have to put on those glasses to find the miracles. You have to be committed with your spouse or your partner to looking for the miracles. And that's what you'll find. So the point is, you know, whether you believe in God or you believe in a universal power, an uncaused cause, there's a force of goodness, whatever you want to call it, in any religion, that wants to help, that wants to be part of your challenges, that wants to be part of your struggle. And there's no limits. As Wayne Dyer used to say, there's no risk in believing that anything is possible. And like Einstein says, miracles can happen. And so, what do we do with this? I want to make a recommendation. There's a video on the internet from, you can Google it, JJ Virgin. And it's called You're Stronger Than You Think. I've got it for Gary. And he's watched it. JJ Virgin is the speaker, nutritionist that's on the circuit. And she had an incredible, incredible demonstration of finding and facing a challenge. And it was her son. her son, who was 16 or 17, California, was walking to a friend's house, crossing a street at night, and was hit by a car, left for dead, and he only had a 1% chance of living. And it's an incredible journey of courage. It's an incredible journey, like Gary Barnes, of support of a community of family and friends. But I'd like to give you that assignment and text me or send me an email to jjschalter@gmail.com and let me know how you reacted to it. Because miracles are out there. They're waiting to be seen. They're waiting to be experienced. But you've got to believe. God bless you and have a wonderful week.